Billy, what's the matter? You can't get a good corned beef sandwich in Tampa? If you put mayonnaise, this podcast is over.
No.
Don't put mayonnaise.
Kosher mustard.
Okay.
Welcome to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford.
Check out BillCurryFord.com for all the deals.
Right now, please remember, our good listeners, you can get 0% financing plus...
Say that again?
Right now, you can get 0% financing.
That's zero as in a big O.
Nada, yeah. Plus tremendous incentive offers at Bill Curry Ford on the 2019 Ford F-150 XL and the 2019 Ford Escape S models.
I'm driving a Ford Escape myself. My wife can't say enough about the car. It's a fantastic vehicle. It's going to take me 3.5 months to figure out all the features in this vehicle. It's unbelievable. Now look, there's a lot of showrooms in the Tampa Bay area. You go to other showrooms, you're going to get some customer service, some good, some bad. You go to Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James, you know what you're going to get? Concierge service. That's what you're going to get. The showroom's fantastic. The cars in the showroom are great. They have a huge volume of cars, tremendous selection. And we could not be happier with this Ford Escape. It is one hell of a car. I got seat warmers to Kemper. I don't care if it's reading 76 degrees outside. I like to put them on anyway and warm my butt.
Bowling at Pin Chasers is some of the very best fun in the Tampa Bay area you can have. Two Tampa locations, one in Zephyr Hills, and there's a great daily special every single day. Cyber bowling is on Fridays. Bowl, dance, eat, drink with your friends and family. 2 hours of bowling is $14.49 for kids and $15.49 for adults. Shoes are always free. An unlimited bowling special starts at 10:30 p.m. Check out pinchasers.net to reserve a lane and see all the daily specials, all the great food and opportunities. Book a party at Pin Chasers, pinchasers.net. Tropic Pressure Florida Ale, Wavemaker Amber Ale, Key Lime Shandy, the Bromosa, the Great Tangerine IPA. These are all fantastic beers from Big Storm Brewing Company, and the selection gets much bigger than that. All brewed locally, and it is the official beer, Big Storm, of the Ira Kaufman Podcast and JoeBucksFan.com. We're so excited to be drinking the beer and telling you about it. Go to BigStormBrewery.com. That's where you can hit up the Storm Tracker, and there you can find where to buy the beer locally. And of course, you can head out to their tap rooms. Big Storm in Clearwater is the flagship location, 49th Street North, just south of Ulmerton Road. The food is incredible. And Big Storm Pasco, right there in Odessa, 2330 Success Drive. Our big JoeBucksFan.com draft parties are going to be in Clearwater at Big Storm in the spring, and we'll be there all season long and all year long, just enjoying the great beer and the great food. We'll see you at Big Storm.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to yet again another edition of the world-renowned Ira Kaufman Podcast. It's what everybody waits for. They're pounding on their keyboards. They're twittering vulgarities at us, Ira. They want your podcast of it. It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast with the one and only, the king of Pasco County, the sultan of what? I don't know.
SWAT.
Well, you're not Babe Ruth. The sage of Tampa Bay sports.
That's enough, DeKemper. That's enough.
That's enough. You're flattered enough now?
I like to bring up musical references, half of which you don't even get. So I'm going to bring up something from the 50s for all our all our septuagenarians.
You mean all of our Korean War veterans that listen?
You ever heard of Ricky Nelson? He was killed in a plane crash.
No.
Anyway, he had a bunch of hits in the 50s. He had a song called Traveling Man. I'm a traveling all around the world. This guy was 20 years before.
But Bob Seger did Traveling Man.
Yes, he did.
Very good song.
So anyway, I was a traveling man.
You know, he's still alive in the 21st century, by the way.
Ricky Nelson was killed in a plane. You going to hold that against Ricky Nelson?
Yeah, he's dead.
The man was a passenger.
History.
He went into an icy lake.
He's history.
You're poking the man. By the way, Ricky Nelson had a show in the 50s with Ozzy and Harriet, the Nelsons.
Not Ozzy Osbourne?
Don't you know these things?
Not well, Ozzy Smith?
I'm going to get to the Bucks over here sooner or later. Last week, I had the distinct pleasure going to Canton, Ohio. All expenses paid by the Hall of Fame.
The custodian of Canton.
You forgot that. And that leads me right into it. Big Hall of Fame meeting. We had a dinner on Tuesday. 20 guys were up there. We're all staying in the same hotel. Courtyard Marriott, Canton, Ohio.
Oh, yeah, Courtyard?
Courtyard. We went to the hall for dinner Tuesday night. Belichick did not make it. He flew in late Tuesday night, and the meeting started promptly at 8 o'clock on Wednesday morning, and he made it. He came in with two computers, two laptops,
and a voluminous, and I said voluminous, notebook where he had extensive notes on all 38 people.
Wow.
That we discussed that day.
Now, just to make sure we got the right word here, we're not talking about voluptuous.
We're talking about voluminous.
Which means volume.
And we voted for the centennial class, and we cut down from 38 to 15. 10 players, 3 contributors, 2 head coaches. It was supposed to be released Wednesday morning. David Baker, the hulking president of the Hall of Fame, he messed up his own embargo. And just because these two coaches happened to be picked out of the 8 finalists, and it happened to be Bill Cowher and Jimmy Johnson, and by the way, those happened to be the 2 guys that got check marks from yours truly.
Oh, you voted for both of them?
I voted for both of them.
And, I'm glad you were enlightened with Jimmy Johnson.
And Baker's very theatrical, and he knows the power of television. And it was great television.
Yeah, great TV, yeah.
So he surprised Cowher, and, you know, I think it's true that his cohorts did not know what was going on. And when Baker walked out, they were shocked.
They had to know, yeah.
You know, I told my wife Sunday, because I went to Baltimore Saturday night. You guys finally found a little extra money to send me somewhere, so I went to Baltimore. Hooked up with John Robinson, GM of the Titans.
Yeah, just to be clear, former Bucks guy, not to be confused, the former USC coach.
Used to be
former Rams coach.
Used to be Jason Light's lean-to right-hand man on player personnel, and good for him. I believe he's gone 9-7 all 4 years that he's been in Nashville. All 4.
He's a really good dude.
He's a good dude, and they're still alive. Staying alive. Now, I was shocked how they whipped up on the Ravens. I did not see that coming.
Good job by Vrabel.
Vrabel, outstanding. Nobody wants to tackle Derrick Henry.
Understandably.
And now, Lee, you're not going to want to hear this, but Lamar Jackson ended up with 500 yards of total offense between his throwing and his running.
In that game.
And they scored only 12 points. 500 yards.
That's surprising.
So let's not go crazy about the yards. Let's not go crazy. Well, now, I told you that Winston this year cashed in and they scored a lot of points, and that's why I flipped on Winston and said keep him. And I'm going to stay there even with those last 2 performances.
By the way, what is so sacred about Lamar Jackson that you're not allowed to critique him? You notice anybody critiques him, all of a sudden the PC crowd comes out of the woodwork?
I do notice
that. What makes him so special?
Well, he is going to be the MVP, and it might be unanimous, and you don't have a problem with that.
No.
If he has a mediocre game, you call him out.
Thank you. And it's like you're David Duke or something.
Yeah.
You call the guy. I got nothing against him.
I mean, he had 3 giveaways Saturday night, and the Titans had 0. Now, Tannehill only threw 15 balls.
He's had 2 rotten playoff games so far.
That's right. Now they're playing my Chiefs. I'm a little worried about the Chiefs trying to tackle Derrick Henry because nobody seems to want to tackle this guy.
Hey, the way
especially
Mahomes
when
passing,
he starts going downhill.
Hey, the way Mahomes is passing, you hope Henry gets the ball every time.
Now,
I'll eat up the clock for
Lee,
you.
I know you. I don't know anybody that's on their phone, with few exceptions, more than you are. Did you see my tweet?
Girl down the road?
Did you see my tweet at approximately 3:45 p.m. on Sunday where I said, and it was after the opening quarter of the Chiefs game, I've seen enough. This Chiefs fan is switching to a Liz Taylor movie on Turner Classic Movie.
Did you see that? No, but I saw you were going to Publix.
And then I said I was going to Publix, and then I said I was cleaning the toilet. I threw it all out there. Now, Lee, I'm going to say it right up front before we get to the Bucks.
Yeah.
Let me clean up on my Chiefs. You cannot play. Did you see the game?
Yes.
You cannot play a worse first quarter than the Chiefs turned.
Oh, when you're down 21-0 in the first quarter, you cannot play worse.
Dropped balls. Missed assignment. They didn't cover Kenny Stills 60 yards. There's nobody near him. How do you blow that assignment? Tyreek Hill drops a punt. I mean, it was a disaster. An absolute disaster. I did not think they were going to win. I thought they had maybe a 5-10% chance of winning at that point.
Well, anybody says
I did not count on Travis Kelce and, more importantly, Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, my
And
gosh.
A terrible Texans defense. Horrible.
As Chris Russo asked, where was J.J. Watt? Can he make a play?
I'm not going to pick on J.J. Watt. I think
he's playing hurt.
He was gasping for breath over there.
No, he did bad down and pass.
Romeo Crennel should fall on a sword. And a lot of Houston people are calling on Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, they are.
You know, you could say what you want about that field goal fake. Didn't work.
Well, regardless of that, if you're going to do a fake field goal, or excuse me, if you're going to go for it on fourth down, did he kick a field
goal? He kicked a field goal on fourth down.
But then he goes for a fake punt. It's like, what? That makes sense. And Mahomes, that good. By the way, your Chiefs pulled off. I read that's the first time a team in playoffs was down 21-0 after the first quarter and had the lead at halftime.
So I'm still waiting for somebody to cover Travis Kelce. I mean, that's a disaster. I know they were doubling Tyreek Hill. They didn't want to get beat deep, but they didn't have anybody to handle Kelce. Now,
Bleacher Report featured my Twitter when they were down 21-0. I put it's time to take a nap. And people are killing me for that. Like, come on, that's never happened before. Are you serious?
Yeah. The Baltimore game was an absolute shocker. Tennessee handled them very easily. Mm-hmm. The Niners looked terrific. And that's one hell of a defense, as Aaron Rodgers is about to find out. Look, why does Green Bay have a puncher's chance? Because they got Aaron Rodgers. Sure. That's the only reason. Green Bay's got a pretty good defense, but it ain't the 49er defense.
No.
And I guess I got to root for the 49ers because it may help me in some way about John Lynch.
Yeah,
it may.
Visibility, sure. All right, we got to get to the Bucs here before people start running off
the road.
Let's
get to them. And by the way, while I was in Canton, in a room with Belichick, Polian, Ron Wolf.
And that's it. Before you get going, that says a lot about Belichick. Shortly after his loss, he could have said, hell with this, but he didn't.
Yes.
And he came in prepared. That says a lot about the guy.
And he weighed in on a lot of guys, and it was very intelligent, obviously. And you're in a room with him for 11 hours, you got to get smart.
And I'm guessing he had rapt attention.
And rapt attention. And he shook hands with everybody on the way out. Everybody, even me.
Did he spit in his hand before he
shook
hands?
Absolutely not. He said, say hello to DeKemper on the way out. But I managed to ask some of them, not Belichick.
Summon him.
Some of them.
Oh, some of them. I thought you said you summoned him.
About young Jameis Winston. Now, I know you cornered Bill Polian this week at the Trop.
And we'll get to that in a second.
But I talked to Wolf. I did talk to Polian. I talked to Ozzie Newsome, Gil Brandt. And the consensus was you can't walk away from 5,000 yards. You can't walk away from 30 touchdowns. Yeah, the 30 picks is a big number. You've never said it isn't.
No, never.
But the consensus is give him a franchise tag. Nobody said sign him for 4 years. Nobody.
I wouldn't. And I'm his biggest supporter. I wouldn't.
And their basic message was the same as yours, and I hate to pump up your ego, but
no, you won't.
Who are you going to get that's better? Who are you going to get that's better?
Yeah, it's not going to pump my ego. I've been saying that for the longest time. And if you could, I'm a big believer. And by the way, I asked Polian about this off the record. I won't tell you right now what he said, but I mentioned this to Polian, yes. And I told him, I said, what do you think of this quote from Raheem Morris? He said, what is it? I said, I will tolerate you until I can replace you.
You love that quote.
I love that quote because I think it's so apropos in the NFL.
I think Isbit said it to me last week.
you're going to be around a while because you're irreplaceable.
Thank you.
I'll tell you off the record what he said because I asked him this off the record, and I'm not going to blow. You know, he doesn't expect this
to be. That's right, and I know you, and you'll put it in a nice big headline, and so you're not going to do it.
No,
so that's
not going to do it, but I'll tell you afterwards. And let's just say he smiled when I said that.
What's new? What's new on the Bucs docket, Lee?
Well,
what's new?
Since we got Polian here, I'm going to jump ahead. I have a list of things to talk about. We were talking about Jameis Winston, and we brought Polian. And when I did talk to him, in case people didn't read the story, and he was
shame on you for not reading that story.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like to hound these guys too much. When I say these guys, Rosenhaus, I saw at the Shrine practices at the Fruit Dome in St. Petersburg. We just talked about polling.
They don't
there.
Want to be harassed. You know.
They're there to work. Now, if I can catch them after practice when we're walking up the field, great. But I generally don't like to take that chance. Like, they're there now, go get them. And polling was gracious. I've dropped your name. And his face lit up. And I think that opened the door for me to ask questions.
That's like, because I bought him a Bromosa over there in Canton. How do you like that?
There you go. You brought one up there to him. Anyway, I asked him about Jameis. And his answer was, in a nutshell, trust Bruce Arians.
Yes. Yeah, he said the same thing.
Whatever the decision is, trust Bruce Arians. He said there's no one better.
That's the reputation that Arians has. Yes, yes.
And that's what do you think about that? Just trust Bruce Arians.
He said, Lee, we said 6 months ago, projecting what was going to happen in the offseason, we said the Glazers are going to have a meeting with Arians. Light might be allowed in the room. He might be. He might get a hall pass. But the main principals are going to be the Glazers and Bruce Arians. Now, I don't know if that's already happened or it's going to happen. And you and I both looked at each other and we said, Arians is going to say what needs to be said. He's not going to hedge. It's his own neck.
Yeah.
It's his own future. He's not going to be coaching for another 10 years. His reputation. If he doesn't think Winston's the guy, that's what he's going to tell the Glazers. If he thinks he can work with them and cut down significantly on the giveaways, that's what he's going to tell them. Let's stick with this guy for another year. If that's what he believes, it's all about what the quarterback whisperer believes. And then the Glazers have to make a decision whether they're going to go along with that.
Well, what I thought was interesting in this decision, you know, decision 2020.
That's right.
You know, it sounds like Ted Koppel or something.
Forget about, you know, Bernie Sanders. This is decision 2020.
Oh, did you see what came out?
Yeah, we know what's going on.
I mean, what came out, that video, one of his underlings.
I haven't even heard about
it. It's very damning. At any rate.
Oh, they got a debate tonight. They got a big debate tonight. Is it going to come up at the debate?
It very well could.
Okay.
When people bring up gulags and re-education, that's not good.
Okay.
With Arians, Carson Palmer was interviewed. He did a media car wash a week or so ago, and he was on Rich Eisen's show, and he said something I thought was very interesting.
Carson Palmer, which was Arians' hand-picked guy to start his era in Arizona.
He, too, had a bunch of picks his first year, not 30.
Especially the first half of the season.
Yeah, he had a bunch of picks, and he turned that around, especially in his second season with Arians.
Yes.
And obviously the big point of discussion with Palmer was, what's going on with Jameis? What's going on with Arians? Palmer said something I thought was very interesting. The part about, Jameis will know the offense better. You know, that's boilerplate stuff. Yeah, okay. But Carson Palmer added this. Both the quarterback, Jameis, and the receivers will now have an entire offseason to study a full year of tape to not only know their offense, but the receivers will know when they're supposed to make cuts, when they're supposed to come back from the ball. What did Arians say time after time after time throughout the season? He was blaming his receivers.
Bad route. Bad route.
And then Carson Palmer out of the blue comes out and says this. Wow.
Now, it wasn't 30 bad routes.
Of course not. Yeah. No. But when we heard Arians saying all season long, and I never said Arians was wrong, but it's like 30 picks is 30 picks. Come on now. But when Palmer, and I am assuming he didn't consult with Arians before he did these interviews, he said, you know, your quarterback will have an entire offseason to look at a year's worth of film, and the receivers will know how to make breaks better.
Seems like a fair point. Seems like a
fair point. I just thought that was very interesting. He said that. He brought up receivers. And then, you know, this is on the heels of Arians blaming the receivers for a lot of James'
picks. But the other part of the story is to wean Winston a little bit off that gunslinger mentality. Not totally off.
Is it?
I think it is. That I can make every play.
That's the key. I don't know if that's necessarily gunslinger. That just may be arrogance. But I agree with you on that. That's what Cutter tried to do, and he didn't make much headway.
Now, what's this Cornell guy? Tell me this story.
Yeah, I'll tell you about Cornell, and I'll add this about the gunslinger. I don't know if you were at the press conference tonight. It was like second or third last home game. And Jameis was asked, you know, when you're throwing these picks, what does Arians say to you on the sidelines? And Jameis said, keep firing. That sounds like gunslinger to me. But the arrogance, I think, is what you were getting at. Like, oh, I can make this throw. He has to somehow or another be able to figure out, no, I can't make that throw. Or throwing the damn ball in the dirt's going to be a better option.
And I can't be the guy that loses the game for us. That's another part of this.
And I hope somehow, some way, he understands. And I think he should understand it already. But if he doesn't, I hope he understands fairly quickly. He's letting down a lot of players. This team might have been in the playoff contention without his picks.
Yeah.
And I'm his biggest supporter. But to deny otherwise is
that's to be James. Fair, it's not his fault they got a lousy running game. Which they do.
No running game.
It's a lousy running game.
And I will admit, the first part of the season, their pass defense was awful. What's new?
It was.
But once the rookies got a few laps in them and they got rid of Hargraves, the defense was fantastic. So, yes, J.C. Cornell, he runs the Draft Network. I do know that Cornell has a direct pipeline to a shot caller very high up the food chain at One Buck Palace. He reported...
So in the past, he's been fairly accurate.
Yeah. He's had some information that very few people have had, if no one has had, that's been right on the mark.
And you don't remember him necessarily screwing up? Not necessarily, right?
You mean wrong report?
Yeah, wrong report.
No, I don't remember that. Okay. And that's not to say he's, you know, completely accurate.
And what did he say, and on what forum did he say it?
Put on Twitter, it's highly possible that the Bucks move on from James. I will say I spoke with someone that works at One Buck on Tuesday, and I said, what about this?
Basically, hogwash. Hogwash was the answer. Anything you can say that's not a four-letter word?
Well, a four-letter word was involved. Let's just say the guy poo-pooed it.
Yeah.
He didn't say it was wrong.
He threw shade on it.
There you go. Now the kids will you relate to you, Ira. He used a four-letter word, one of George Carlin's that you can't say, the seven dirty words. He didn't say it was wrong.
Did he use all seven? Or he just used
the one. Just one. Right. He didn't say it was wrong. Didn't say it was right. But he poo-pooed it. I won't say what he said because it's off the record. He's
Well, Lee, we're not going to be absolutely floored if they move on from Winston.
No.
I'm not going to be shocked.
No.
I still think my money's on Winston coming back. If I had to bet, Lee, I would bet that he's coming back.
At least
as a starter for the beginning of the 2020 season.
Now, Arians, you know, he tossed out, hey, there might be free agents, there might be a trade. What quarterback could be available by a trade?
Well, I'll tell you who was available last March in a trade, Ryan Tannehill. They had to trade for him. He was not a free agent.
You think Tennessee would get rid of him?
And by the way, he's a free agent again.
Well, they'll tag him, I'm sure.
I think there's too much pressure to keep him. Mariota's gone.
Especially if you get to the AFC Championship game.
Look who's going to be on a free agent market. Marcus Mariota.
I wouldn't touch him.
Don't even touch him.
Not unless you're going to use him as a running back or something.
I see people are trying to link Andy Dalton now to Bill Belichick, thinking that if they move on from Brady, Belichick thinks he might do wonders with Dalton.
No kidding.
Dalton's a functional quarterback. He ain't no Tom Brady. Nobody is. I don't think he's a fit in Tampa, Leaf. I'll tell you why.
He's not Dalton.
He's not a good deep thrower. That's not his forte. Now, but cut him some slack. He didn't have A.J. Green this year, but he didn't play particularly well. They made some playoffs with Andy Dalton.
Yes.
He's not a bum. I'll tell you what, I certainly wouldn't mind if the price was a fifth-round pick. I wouldn't mind getting him as a backup to Winston.
Dalton?
Even though he still thinks he can start in this league. Mm. I talked to somebody yesterday that covers him in Cincinnati. I said, would Dalton bristle if he joined the team and as a backup? And he said, yeah.
Mm.
He thinks he could start. He looks at Chicago. He looks at this, Miami or whatever, and Denver. Mm. And he thinks he could help teams.
Interesting. Now, you're a big Philip Rivers guy.
I think he's a borderline Hall of Famer.
Do you think he still has gas left in the tank to start?
I think the problem with Rivers is he's prone to the interception.
Yeah, he is.
Always has been.
Not like Jameis, but...
his durability's off the charts. Fantastic durability.
I can only think of one injury he's had.
Yeah, maybe one injury. Tremendous competitor, as is Winston. I don't see it necessarily as a step up from Winston. He's going to want to make some money, no question. You know, look, there's some guys in free agency, but I'm, you know, Bridgewater, you haven't mentioned Bridgewater.
He's not a deep thrower either. Yeah, that's why I never bring up Bridgewater, because he's not a deep thrower. You have to change Arians' offense.
I think there could be a guy in the draft that maybe slips to round three or maybe move up to the end of round two that catches Arians' eye. It's all about who Arians wants.
Of course.
And I wouldn't be surprised, and I think it makes some sense to draft a quarterback. Now, Lee, I'm going to throw this out at you right now, and you're going to say, no way this happens. What if the Alabama kid is sitting there at 14?
Oh, I thought about that.
I think they have to take him.
The only reason I'm...
And sit him behind Winston.
Well, the only reason why I'm, like, leery about him, he's brittle.
He's brittle, but he's a special talent. You
special
know that.
Special talent. But he's brittle. I mean, you could be the greatest.
So if you're brittle for Alabama behind that line in college, you're worried about him at the pro level, and I understand that.
That's a fair point. I would be more.
I don't think he'll be there. Do you think he could be there at 14?
It all depends on that hip, what the medical reports are.
Yeah.
He has admitted he may not be the same quarterback, and he may not be able to throw by the time the draft comes out.
And he won't go to the combine. Probably.
Well, he won't throw at the combine.
And he won't throw at the combine.
I mean, that's a whole lot of faith.
You would have to do a deep dive into the medical report.
Big time.
Yeah.
I would be more comfortable, and
you wouldn't draft him thinking he's got to play right away. No way.
I would be more comfortable only for the fact that there's less questions about him. I'm not saying he's a better quarterback. In fact, he's not a better quarterback. But this Eason, quarterback
big,
at Washington.
Big arm, big guy. Yeah, he could be a Carson Palmer type,
yeah.
which would interest Arians.
A deep thrower. And he doesn't have the health questions, major health questions, that Tua does. So that's why I'd be more inclined to draft him at 14 than I would Tua.
Probably didn't play as good a competition as Tua played.
I agree.
In the SEC.
Yeah, he didn't play as good as competition. There's no question about that. And I don't think he's as good a quarterback as Tua. Excuse me, but
he's a clean slate, right?
Yeah, yeah, until those medical questions are cleared up.
You're right.
That's a whole lot of leap of faith.
We know Burrow's going to the Bengals, and
it seems that way.
And you know, for anybody who still doubts that kid,
did they watch him? Yeah.
Clemson's defense ain't exactly shabby.
No, he tore him apart.
By the way, did you see that Stingley Jr. kid? I think he's a freshman. Boy, that kid's good.
LSU's loaded, man. They really are.
Boy, that kid's good.
You know, since we're talking about Jameis, transition tags. I've been told, I read this on ESPN, I floated this past someone this week.
It's all about the CBA, right, Lee? Well, that's my understanding.
From my understanding, the final year of the CBA, you can use both a franchise and transition tag. Whereas prior, you can only use one of the two. You couldn't use both. But since the NFL is entering the final year of its current CBA,
I still think it's dependent on the talks that happen with the CBA. I still think it's dependent. I don't think it's been determined yet.
For future, but for this year, for 2020, if that's the case, like I said,
you want to use one on Shaq Griffin and maybe one on Winston.
To me, it's no brainer. If you could use both, that's a no brainer. You franchise Shaq, and
who will cost $10 million less than Winston?
Yeah, easy.
Because it's about $16 million.
Yeah. And then you transition Jameis.
Did Rosenhaus give you the same crocodile smile that he gave me at Ray J about 3 weeks ago? The same one.
He gave
when you mentioned Shaq. Shaq Barrett's name, did he give you that smile?
He gave me a smile that you would associate with someone who just walked out of Rachel Watson's house after a rendezvous at night.
That's high cotton, DeCamper. That's high cotton. What did he make this year? Four mil? Something like that?
I don't know off the top of my head. I just know he's hit the lottery.
And I don't blame the Bucks for only giving him a one-year contract. Yeah. They didn't know Shaq Barrett was going to
as a proof of contract
going to do that. Yeah.
What do you think of this, Ira? Steve wrote this on JoeBucksFan.com earlier in the week. Does the Glazer family have a responsibility to tell potential season ticket holders, okay, we made a decision on Jameis? Because money's due for tickets. And here you don't know who the quarterback's going to be. And I've had some fans on Twitter come up or mention this on Twitter that until they get an answer, they're not cutting a check. You know, Arian said it'll only take a few weeks to make a decision. And that was, at the end of December. Here we are, we're recording this on the 14th of January. So you figure by the end of January, you figure they probably know. Does the Glazer family owe it to season ticket holders to at least tell them, here's the direction we're taking at quarterback? No, regardless of the answer, here's the direction we're taking.
What Arians did not say that day is that once we make our decision, we're going to make it public.
The reason
he didn't say it is because they're not going to make it public. And I think in the long-term interest of the franchise, I think it's the right decision. You don't have to tell Joe Bucks fan.
No, I'm not saying Joe Bucks
us fan. Or Joe Bucks fan in terms of...
readers?
500,000 Buck fans. Why give away your plans when you don't have to? I understand your point about the season tickets, but you have to trust... You've got to trust management that they're going to make the right choice.
Now, I had someone ask me this. I won't say his name because he didn't expect this to be discussed on a podcast. You know him, though.
Another unnamed source, DeCamper.
Unnamed, but you know him, so.
That's 107 in this year.
And I'm willing to bet you talked to him this week.
All right.
He asked me, what's the benefit of the Glazers holding the cards to the vest? I couldn't come up with an answer. I told him, I'm sure there is one. I just can't think of one right now.
They're not going to do it, Lee. I don't expect them to. Yeah, they're not going to do it.
I don't expect them to.
What date do you think they have to make this call on the franchise and transition tags?
Early March. I don't have the dates in front of me, but I do know March 18th. That's when the dinner bell rings for free agency.
Are you?
Usually it's like a week before, isn't it?
Do you have your plans in place for the combine?
I'm there.
You got your hotel?
Uh huh.
Got your flight?
Yep.
Got your dinner plans?
Oh yeah.
St. Elmo's?
Eventually, I'll make it there. Yeah.
All right. Be careful of that shrimp cocktail.
But the very first place I go.
You are a creature of habit.
Yeah.
When you go to New Orleans, they'll find you at the gumbo shop. Now, where do you go in Indianapolis?
Shapiro's Deli, downtown Indianapolis.
Shapiro's Deli. What's the matter? You can't get a good corned beef sandwich in Tampa? No, probably not.
Well, yeah, I go to Lucky Dill once in a while. But I'm a pastrami kind of guy. So I go there and they got this big old pastrami.
Isn't that
Carnegie Deli?
Two J's at the mall? I think that might also
I've heard of two.
All right, so what do you get over there?
Hot pastrami sandwich and...
If you put mayonnaise, this podcast is over.
No.
Don't put mayonnaise
on there. Kosher mustard.
Okay. Then you may continue. By the way, you said I'm running into a buzzsaw with Russo this week. I'm going back on with the Mad Dog. And you love to tipped me off about what he's screaming about. He's always screaming about something.
Well,
said he's got the daggers out for me already.
Yeah. He said something about how you're going to send David Baker, the president of the Hall of Fame, to Baltimore to enshrine John Harbaugh. So
he never forgets a thing, Lee.
No.
Never.
Now, here's one for you, Ira.
All I said was Harbaugh's one of the better coaches in the NFL. He's never going to. I said the same thing about Tomlin, mm-hmm. and he never lets me forget it.
We're going to forget about Harbaugh right now. That's what he's saying.
Oh, boy.
The attendance. And this goes sort of along hand in hand with, you know, should the Glazer family share their plans on the direction of the quarterback situation. Attendance in the NFL. Not just the Bucs. The NFL, it's way down.
I'm glad you brought that topic up.
Ratings are way up.
I'm glad you brought that topic up.
And the same thing in college football.
Yeah. I think it's one of the biggest issues facing the NFL, if they consider it a major issue. Maybe they don't.
If they did, there'd still be blackouts.
Lee, from a team perspective, and you know this as well as I do, attendance in your stadium is not a major impact on your profits. I don't think that's right. I think the TV money dwarfs it.
Oh, yes.
And I think I wish there was more of an emphasis on getting a successful team and generating more fannies in the seats. But that's just the way it is, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
You can't lose money as an NFL owner, and maybe you should be able to if you got a lousy team.
Well, I read a story on Sports Illustrated. It was about college football attendance. But it's the same situation. College football attendance is dropping.
Across the board, you're saying.
TV ratings are going up. So they're trying to get the...
Look at the race. TV ratings strong, right, Lee?
Yeah. And they were trying to get to the bottom. Why is college football... And I think this is related. They didn't come to this conclusion. The kind of roundabout way they did. I have a different conclusion. But they were basically seeing the college kids find that they have more fun being at parties, on campus parties or at the bars, than they do at the games. Plus, it's less expensive. That was their conclusion, that they find that the students, rather than going to the games, would rather party with their buddies and watch the games. Now, there was a guy, I don't know if he's still around, he used to work on XM, not Sirius XM, but XM Radio. They had a college sports station. The guy was named Bill King. He was a radio guy in Nashville. And every once in a while, someone from Ole Miss or someone from Tennessee or someone nearby Nashville, you know, college football fan, hey, come to our tailgate. And he would always say, I would love to, but if I go to a game, I miss too much. And I thought that was profound. And I think that's what some of these students are saying.
That's another part of this.
I think that's what some of the students are saying.
The technology's gotten so good.
Yes.
And the comfort of your home, you can't beat it, Lee.
Yeah. For example, if you go to a college game, let's say you live in Tampa, you want to go to the Gators. Or, I don't mean worse, but a bigger obstacle, go to Tallahassee. That's a whole day deal.
Hey, you're up on I-75. You don't know what kind of traffic.
That's a whole day deal. Whereas you stay home, you're getting six games. From noon till midnight, you're watching games.
Bathroom as much as you want.
Yeah, right there.
Beer as much as you want.
Yeah, right there. You don't have to worry about cops or anything.
And a nice big 70-inch screen.
In the comfort of your air conditioning and whatnot.
On a recliner.
Yeah. So I always thought what Bill King said was profound, and I think that's what these kids were telling Sports Illustrated. If you go to a game, you miss too much.
Interesting.
And what you said, technology.
There comes a point where people don't think the hassle's worth it.
Yeah,
traffic. Now, there's something to be said for that group atmosphere.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's fun.
It's fun. And the Bucks do the best job they can in terms of customer service. I never hear too many complaints about it.
Don't they win awards for customer service?
Yeah, they do a nice job. So in that regard, you know, don't ding the Bucks about this. It's a league-wide problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's as big a problem perceived as it should be. To me, it should be a major issue. You know, right up there, not as big as concussions and player safety, but it's a major issue. And I'm not sure it's on the front burner because the idea is, we got a $15 billion industry. What are we worried about? We're going to renegotiate the TV contracts. It's not going to go down. You just said ratings are up.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it's all about, mm-hmm. ultimately?
TV contracts, yeah.
You charge more money.
Yeah. All right, Ira. You got any final thoughts for Bucks fans? What can they look forward to this week from your columns? We just published one of your columns today. It's Tuesday, January 14th.
All right. Well, I hit up the John Robinson Saturday night. I made sure... it was an hour before the game, so he was relaxed a little bit. He had just come up from the field. He saw me, and I gestured toward the hallway. Hey, come on out and see me for a second, which he did. had my tape recorder going. I asked him about the whole Tannehill thing, which turned around the Tennessee season.
It really did.
They were 2-4.
Yeah.
When Tannehill took over. They're 9-3 with Tannehill. Now, Lee, I can just hear Buck fans screaming. The guy throws 15 passes a game. Take it easy. True. But he's doing a good job as a game manager. And you remember at the end of the opening round game that Tennessee won. He had to make a couple of big passes when they were trying to run out the clock, and he did it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, Henry's the big stick there, and I hope he doesn't stick in the Chiefs' throats over there. But Robinson gave me a nice greeting. You know, he learned a lot from Jason Light. He'll be the first to tell you. But unlike Jason Light, and I think Arians was a big part of this, Arians came to an early conclusion, Lee, you know this, maybe the day after he got the job, that, hey, let's not crowd Winston. Let's not keep him looking over his shoulder pads. Let's give him every opportunity. But in the process, there was no pressure at all on Jameis Winston. Sometimes a little pressure helps. And when Mariota faltered, they didn't waste any time. You're benched in week six, and he never got his job back. So that's why I keep writing, and I got a theme going, Lee, and I don't think you disagree. Assuming you bring Winston back, and I say, in the column, and there's no guarantee that that's the way they're going. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But if they do, you got to have a better bet. Lee, Blaine Gabbert's a nice guy. Blaine Gabbert's done nothing in this league. Absolutely nothing.
Well, he's done something, right? He flamed out Jacksonville.
Flamed out. Played a half a year for Arians. I think he started five games. He's only got five games under Bruce Arians. He wasn't his quarterback for 3 years.
Is it fair to say if they bring Jameis back, they think they can make a playoff run? And if that's the case, isn't it responsible to have a decent backup?
Now, somebody would say, oh, they're cash-strapped. Lee, they're not that cash-strapped. You know, and I'm not saying you spent $12 million on a backup. But upgrade. You know, and I'm tired of hearing about Ryan Griffin. I'm a little tired about it. You know, and I like the guy. But 7 years? I mean, come on. I don't think that's ever happened before.
Two passes?
Two passes. So let's not kid ourselves, you know. But, you know, you don't have a great sense of confidence with a guy that's thrown two passes that counted in his NFL career. So upgrade that backup. And if Winston, I'll say it again, Lee, they start 1-3. And you know the Bucs are famous for those lousy starts. Boy, do they bury themselves.
Yeah.
This year it was 2-2. Not so terrible. But the next thing you knew, it was 2-6. Right? October was a disaster.
And by the way, whenever 2-6, did we ever dream they would be 5-2 on the road?
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not. So I'm saying, you know, when Vrabel benched Mariota, of course he talked to John Robinson about it before he did it. And who knows Mariota better than John Robinson? He scouted him and Winston when he was a lights guy. They studied both of them intensely. They took Winston. I think that's the better choice. I think ultimately they prove they made the right choice. But neither guy has proven himself as a winner, even though Mariota did make the playoffs and beat my Chiefs. Fluke play. But Lee, my point is they didn't waste a lot of time once Mariota started struggling. They said, we cannot let this season go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And they were 2-4, and they salvaged themselves. And I say the Bucs have to be in the same mindset in 2020. We can't let the season go to hell.
If the Bucs are going to do anything next year, is it too much to ask to win 5 home games?
No, absolutely not. And you talked about attendance. There's a direct link between how you play at home and home attendance. Road wins are nice. Are they 5-3 or 6-2? I can't remember.
5-3.
5-3.
I said 5-2.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, that's right. You go 5-3 on the road, and,
the Bucs haven't had a winning home record since Chucky was fired.
That's the longest streak.
That's
by
ridiculous.
Far.
Yeah,
that's
it
ridiculous.
Is. Worse than the Browns.
So, Arians talked about it, but he didn't do it. They didn't do it. They didn't get it done. Now, you might say, they should have beat the Giants. Yeah, they should have done this. They should have done that. They should have beat Houston.
Yep.
They should have beat Atlanta. You could say all that. Shouldas don't count, Lee. I'm tired of shouldas. I want couldas. And good night, everybody.